Okay, so the question really is, if the new covenant is made, the question is, if the new covenant is made with Israel, and has a tutor like we say here, like we see here, then why does Paul say that we're able ministers of the new covenant, right? Right. Somebody could come back with a question like that. So let's take a look at it and see what he means. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And look at verse 6. It's on the left.
Who also has made us able ministers of the new covenant, and not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
Right. You see that the new covenant is going to be not of the letter. Remember that the Sinai covenant was written in stone, wasn't it?
Right.
Okay. The new covenant is not going to be written in stone. It's going to be written in the hearts of the Lord's people, isn't it?
Right.
It's going to be of the Spirit, which gives life. Okay. You see that, for example, I'm going to put another scripture on the right to show you that contrast. In Ezekiel chapter 36, what does it say in verses 26 and 27?
In your heart also will I keep you, and the new spirits will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh.
And verse 27.
Now put my Spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them.
Well, that sounds like Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34, where his Spirit is going to be doing the work, right?
Right.
Okay. So that's what Israel is going to receive by the new covenant. Okay. The emphasis is upon the Spirit that's alive rather than the law that was written in stone reflecting the deadness of, you know, man's sinful heart, right? Okay. So the question, therefore, is when he says we're able ministers of the new covenant was a ministration of Spirit, was it not? Let's continue reading in verses 7 and 8 on the left.
But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be more glorious?
In verse 9.
For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory.
Yeah, so on the one hand, you have the law, which said was administration of death, right? And then he says, on the other hand, the ministry of the Spirit is administration of life, isn't it? It's administration of one's condemnation, as it says in verse 9, and the other is righteousness, right?
Right.
Okay, that's the contrast between the old and the new covenant, okay? One is the deadness of the letter. The other one's the life of the Spirit, okay? And what Paul says concerning us is that, what does he say in verses 17 and 18 at the end of this section here?
Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Right. You see, we have received the same Spirit that Israel one day will receive by covenant, right?
Right.
And that's why he makes that analogy there in terms of being ministered the new covenant. Not that we're ministering the new covenant and saying that Israel, for example, is a totally righteous nation now, because she's not, right? That awaits the future day when the Lord fulfills that covenant to Israel, indeed does pour out his spirit upon all their flesh, like it says in Zechariah 12, and they will be that repentant nation, correct?
All right.
That's at the end of the tribulation. But right now, as Gentiles, a member of the body of Christ, we have that same spirit that in Israel will one day possess nationally, don't we? Don't we have the righteousness of Christ?
Yeah.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, we have the righteousness of Christ. Don't we have the spirit of the living God indwelling us? Don't we have eternal life now?
I do.
Okay, so everything that related to Israel's spiritual blessings, where, you know, the spirit by which they have life, by which they have righteousness, we possess that as members of the body of Christ by grace, don't we?
I do.
And that's what Paul says in Romans chapter 15. So let's go there and kind of put a lid on it. On Romans chapter 15, what did he say? And verses 26 and 27. On the right.
For it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints who are at Jerusalem. It has pleased them greatly, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in material things.
Yeah, you see, the saints at Jerusalem became poor. Why? Because the kingdom program was fading away, wasn't it? Because of Paul's new message? Okay, they lacked nothing, now they're poor because that economy was passing away because of the new message given to Paul concerning this dispensation of grace, where Israel, because she nationally rejected her Messiah, her covenant and her blessings are on hold. And so he tells these Gentile believers here, you know, concerning those Jewish saints, those Jewish believers who realize that their hope is now on hold, he tells them to take up an offering for them, because just like these Gentiles who now have received their spiritual things, what does that mean? They have the spiritual blessings of the new covenant, don't they? These Gentile believers under Paul, they have the spirit, they have life, they have righteousness, do they not?
They do.
Okay. And so he says, if you've received that, then you should minister to them of your physical, gifts, because those saints now, their hope is on hold because of the new dispensation that's coming into play here. Okay. Again, only because of Israel's national rejection, right? Don't we see that in Romans chapter 11? Let's just go there for a final verse. Romans chapter 11, what does Paul say in verses 25 through 28? Give me a second here. Romans 11. Verses 25 through 28. It's on the right. Go ahead and read that, Abel.
For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own senses, that blindness in part is happening to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be coming, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, they shall come out of Zion, the deliverer, and shall turn away and godliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins.
And verses 28 and 29.
As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for their sins. But as concerning the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are unchangeable.
All right, so let's take a look at this piece by piece there. It says in verse 25, there's a mystery that Paul doesn't want these Gentile believers to be ignorant of, right? And what's that mystery? That blindness in part has happened to Israel. Most of Israel has been blinded for 2,000 years, has it not? There are a few Gentiles, there are a few Jews in the body of Christ, but not many, okay? Paul calls that a remnant, doesn't he, in verse 1. Has God cast away his people, God forbid? For all I also am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people from before knew. And he talks about even at this present time, also there is what? A remnant according to the election of grace. Paul was part of that Jewish remnant. You know, Eric and myself, in terms of this current day here, we're part of that same remnant. But the Jews, but the Jews are a minority in the body of Christ, are they not?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so then you need to understand that as concerning Israel's hope, that's not, they're not going to realize that hope until what? Until the fullness of the Gentiles come in at the end of verse 25, right?
Right.
Because this now is a Gentile dispensation, isn't it? Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for who? For you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is committed to me for you. That's Ephesians 3, 1 and 2, right? This is the only Gentile dispensation that there is in the Bible. It exists because of Israel's having rejected their Messiah, and they're asleep right now. They're blinded, most of them. And that condition will continue until this Gentile dispensation is complete, as he says, right? In verse 25. And what happens after the Gentile dispensation is complete? Well, that he tells you in verses 26 and 27, doesn't he? So go ahead and read that.
And so all Israel shall be saved.
As is it written,
there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away and godliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins.
This is a direct quote from Isaiah 59, verses 20 and 21. You can just write that down, okay? But that's what Paul was quoting, all right? Now, concerning the prayers, going back to the present day now, where we are under this Gentile dispensation, what does it say in verse 28?
As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes.
Right, they're enemies right now, aren't they? Why was that so? Look at, go back up in the chapter. What does it say in verse 15?
For it's the casting away of them against the reconciling of the world. What shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?
Yeah, you see, if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, as long as Israel was in covenant relationship with Jehovah, the Gentiles were on the outside. Isn't that true?
It is.
I mean, look at this in Ephesians chapter 2. Was it Ephesians chapter 2? Verses 11 and 12. What does it say? Come on, Abel. Ephesians 2, verses 11 and 12.
Therefore, remember that you being in tempers, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world.
Yeah, you see, the Gentiles were the ones that were aliens there, right, in time past. Israel had a covenant relationship with God, didn't she? Okay. But what happened to that covenant relationship with God? Well, if you go down in Romans chapter 11, because of their unbelief, what happened? Look at verses 30 through 32.
For as we in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. for God has completed them all in a belief that might have mercy upon all.
Yeah, so if you look at the, if you substitute the pronouns for the nouns, I mean the nouns for the pronouns, everything becomes clear. It's all about Israel versus the Gentiles here. For as you Gentiles in time past have not believed, that's Ephesians 2:11 and 12, right? Okay, you have not believed God, yet now you Gentiles have obtained mercy through Israel's unbelief, haven't they? Because God cast them away, didn't he? For the reconciling of the world. So he says in verse 31, even so have these Jews, who also now have not believed, that through your, through the Gentiles' mercy, they also may, the Jews may also obtain mercy, for God has concluded Jew and Gentile, all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. That's what's happened today. Okay?
Yeah.
So everyone's an enemy, and everyone has the opportunity to be reconciled, is it not?
It is.
And that's why Paul says, what shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead? The same thing with anyone today. If you're an enemy, you have the message of reconciliation open to you. Isn't that what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us in verses 19 through 21? I'm going to put that right here on the left. I'll bring that Romans passage back up here on the left. Romans 11, 15. Okay. So if you look at 2 Corinthians 5, what does it say in verses 19 through 21?
That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, and so God sent you by us. We pray you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he has made him, when you know sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Yeah, you see, anyone who's been reconciled to God through Christ is an ambassador with a message of what? Reconciliation, message of peace, right? Telling individuals to make their peace with him through what Christ did for them. He became sin for them, that they could be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what our message is. And so this is what with the messages for today, it's the same message to Jew and Gentile alike. You're going back to that passage in Ephesians chapter 2, and that's exactly what you see. In Ephesians chapter 2, if we continue reading in that context there, beginning with verse 13, what does he say in verses 13 and 14?
But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us.
Right. So now in Christ Jesus, you Gentiles who were afar off, you were aliens, like he says in verses 11 and 12, are made near by the blood of Christ. For Christ is our peace, who hath made both Jew and Gentile one. He did it by having broken down the middle wall of partition between us. What was the middle wall in verse 15? What was the middle wall in verse 15?
Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace.
Right. And verse 16?
And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby.
And so what's our message in verse 17?
And came and preached peace to you who were far off, and to them that were nigh.
Yeah, so that's the Christ, the peacemaker, made the peace between Jew and Gentile, broke that middle dividing wall, which was the law that separated the Jew and the Gentile. He reconciles now both unto God in one body by the cross. Okay, there is one man, one new man, as he says. No more enmity, no more distinction. And the same message of peace is open to all, correct? Whether you're a Gentile that were once afar off or a Jew that was one time near, you're all enemies. You all need to be reconciled. That's the message today, isn't it?
It is.
Okay. So, going back to Romans chapter 11 and finishing up, you know, where does that leave? So you see that today in Romans chapter 11, just as we've been studying, in verse 28, as concerning the gospel, this is the gospel of peace, right? Where there is no Jew, there is no Gentile, we're all enemies, right? We all have this message of peace being preached to us. That they're enemies for your sake, they have to be, because everyone's an enemy today and needs to has that same message of peace open to all, like we just saw. Okay? But as concerning the election, you know, Israel is beloved for the father's sake. God made promises to those fathers, and he's going to keep them, but they're on hold for now, right?
Right.
Just like he said in verse 25, until this Gentile dispensation is complete. You see, everything makes sense if we just read the words on the page for what they say, and you don't try to explain anything away. Right?
Right.
The word of God means what it says and says what it means. And so that's, so we right now, as Gentile believers in the body of Christ, and the few Jews that are believers as well, okay, we have the same blessings, spiritual blessings, that Israel will one day nationally have by covenant. We have the indwelling spirit by grace now. And we have the righteousness of Christ now, and we have eternal life now in him, just like Israel will possess by covenant one day, we know, at the second coming of Christ. Okay? So that should be a big encouragement for us now, right? And at the same time, not try to claim something for ourselves that God claimed nationally for Israel, as far as her being the light to the Gentiles and being that righteous nation in the earth that will one day be in Messiah's earthly kingdom. The body of Christ has a completely different heavenly hope, don't they? Far above that, far above all, where there are no earthly distinctions, and it's in fitting with who we are as members of the body of Christ, where there is no Jew or Gentile, correct?
All right.
Okay. And so on that note, what do we say?
Amen.
A hearty amen. Absolutely.